Blog Talk Radio.
Promise that all that while still on
your people may have the strength to trust in you, Lord, and wait for you in patience and joy, Lord. So lay your hands upon us, O Lord our God, and let your redeeming strength be revealed in us, Lord. You know all our needs, Lord. You see into each heart and know how to help as you have promised, Lord. So bless us and help us, Lord. And may your name be honored among us, Lord. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty. Well, let's play some music here. Okay.
That's where I belong. heart above the line. I said no more wasting my time. Oh, I said I love you. You know that's true. I trust because you know me best. You are my peace, you are my rest.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Ken. Glad I can fill in and help you a little.
Oh, yes.
God is with us. What's in a name? From Isaiah 7:14. This is part three in a series, What's in a Name? The Birth Names of the Son of God. For the last few weeks, we've been looking at passages of Scripture that announced what the Christ child would be called. We looked at Isaiah 9:6. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Last time we noted that in Matthew 1:21, you will call his name Jesus. Next time we will look into Luke 1:35, and he shall be called the Son of God. But today we're in Isaiah 7:14. A virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and he will call his name Emmanuel. Now, some of these are not really proper names as much as they are descriptions and characteristics. Until the 14th century, most people only had one name. Now, in medieval England, it's estimated that 3 out of every 5 men carried the name Henry, Robert, John, William, or Richard. Now, as cities grew, so did the need to further identify people with a last name. Now, last names were often derived from occupations such as Miller, Baker, Smith. Now, the name we study today is truly an occupational name. It speaks of one of the duties, tasks, and purposes of the Christ child. For our Lord had truly come to be God with us, and therefore the birth name we study today is the name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, Larry King was once asked whom he'd like to interview if he could only interview one person from history. Now, King replied that he would interview Jesus Christ. When asked, what questions would you ask, King replied, just one. Were you really born of a virgin? Because the answer to that question would define history. Well, I can save Mr. King some time. We don't have to worry about the virgin birth because the story is prophesied in the OT and provided in the NT. Now, the Lord we love and serve is the virgin-born Son of God. One, the sign that must be examined. In making his case for the identity of the Messiah, God enters a sign into evidence, and we do well to scrutinize and study it. A blessed purpose, therefore a sign. This sign was first given to Uzzah, one of the most wicked kings to ever serve the southern kingdom of Judah. He came to the throne as a young man and served during a time of international conflict and war. Believing the false gods of the pagan nations had helped them win victories, Uzzah became steeped in idolatry. He even offered his sons to the fire god, Molech, and would have offered each of his sons. By God's grace, a son was spared, the son we know as King Hezrogah. Here we find Ahaz was under military pressure. Rather than trusting in the Lord for deliverance, he begins to turn to the Assyrians for help. Now, today that would be like a U.S. president turning to Al-Qaeda or ISIS. So God sends Isaiah to Haza to call upon him to look at the first 10 verses. It says, the Lord spoke to Haza, saying, ask for a sign of the Lord your God. Make it as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. The Lord is saying to Haza through Isaiah, ask God for a sign that God will save you if you will turn to him in repentance. 12. Uzzah piously refuses to do so. In verse 13, Isaiah rebukes him for his pride and indicates that God is going to give him a sign anyway. The sign is recorded in verse 14. The purpose of this sign is to reveal that God is all-powerful, that his sovereign plan will not and cannot be thwarted. The name Ahaz means holding fast. It means stubborn, and Hazah was certainly this. He held fast to his sin and idolatry. Sadly, he did not repent. He entered an alliance with the Assyrians. 2 Kings 16:7 records that he sent word to the Assyrian king, saying, I am your servant and your son. Come and deliver me from the king of Aram and the king of Israel who are attacking me. Chronicles 28 says that God began to discipline Ahaz. He became more and more unfaithful and provoked the Lord to anger. Ahaz was so wicked and so vile that when he died, he was not allowed to be buried in the royal cemetery. His son, Hezekiah, ordered all idols removed from the temple. It took 16 days for the priest to clean up the idolatrous mess he left behind. Now, he was a wicked man, but the Lord sent a sign that no matter what you've done, I will forgive you if you turn to me. And here is that sign. A virgin will conceive. A, the blessed purpose, therefore a sign. B, the biblical prophecy, a sign shall be given. But God doesn't want you to miss his son, so he gave literally hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament to point to Jesus. Now, we know this is a biblical prophecy of the Messiah because Matthew 1:22-23 says, the birth of Jesus Christ fulfilled this prophecy. Matthew 1:22-23. Now, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Masonic prophecies were fascinating things. The more criteria the Messiah must meet, the less likely it is that a random person could meet them. Now listen carefully. I'm about to share some information I shared last week. Part of that is because today's text is the prophecy that was fulfilled in the text we looked at last week, so there is obvious overlap. I know I'm repeating myself, or repeating what Ken shared with you on Saturday. I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm doing so on purpose. The world lies to you every single day about the identity of the Lord Jesus. It won't hurt you to hear his birth mother defended for 2 consecutive days. Besides that, some of you didn't even hear it last week. Years ago, Dr. Charles Rye, as a respected mathematician, calculated that it would take 200 billion Earths, each populated with 4 billion people, in order to find one person who could fulfill even 100 of the prophecies of the Messiah. But in Christ alone, over 300 were fulfilled. Genesis 3:15, masculine language excludes one half the world's population. Genesis 9:26 and 27, a descendant of Noah's son, Shem, that excludes two-thirds. Only three sons survived the flood. Genesis 22:18 and others, a descendant of Abraham, excluding all of Shem's other descendants. Genesis 17:21, a descendant of Abraham's son, Isaac, excluding Ishmael's line. Genesis 35:10-12, a descendant of Isaac's son Jacob, excluding Esau's offspring. Genesis 49:10 and Isaiah 37:31, a descendant of Jacob's son Judah, excluding 11/12 of the remaining group. He would be a descendant of Jesse of the house of David, automatically excluding all other members of the lineage of Judah. Micah 5:2, he would be born in Bethlehem. Malachi 3:1, he would come while the temples were standing. Isaiah 3:5, he would perform miracles. Psalm 78, he would speak in parables. Isaiah 40, a man in the wilderness would announce him. Psalms 41, he would be betrayed by a friend. Zechariah, he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Isaiah 53, he would be crucified between thieves. Psalm 34, his bones would not be broken. Psalm 22, they would gamble for his clothes. Isaiah 53 says, he would be buried with the rich. Psalm 16 prophesies that he would be raised from the dead. Psalm 68 says he will ascend into heaven. Psalm 110 says he will be seated at the right hand of God. There we go, A, B, and C. A, the blessed purpose, therefore. B, the biblical prophecy, a sign shall be given. And C, the biological purity, a virgin will conceive. Now, the clear teaching of the Bible is that Jesus Christ was the biological product of a miraculous virgin birth. In fact, the virgin birth is one of the most fundamentals of our faith, and we will discuss this further in just a moment. Now, skeptics have looked at this word virgin and conjectured that it just means a young woman, but that would be no sign at all. Remember the birth announcement from Gabriel in Luke 1? Remember Mary's question? Remember Joseph's reaction? Now, Jesus was born in a way that was unique and unparalleled in history. Adam was created without a mother or father. Eve was created with a husband, but no father or mother. Everybody else got here the old-fashioned way, except Jesus, who was born with an earthly mother and a heavenly father. And we behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father. God will forgive you. Here's a sign. Look for a virgin-born baby. One, the sign that must be examined. Two, the supernatural that must be embraced. No religious system that does not embrace an eternal Christ entering the world through a virgin's womb is, in fact, Christianity. Why must this doctrine be embraced? It indicates Christ's identity. We think of signs as labels and instructions. This sign is a directional sign. It points to something. Actually, it points to someone. Denying this sign is dangerous because to deny this sign is to deny the one to whom the sign points. Now, one of the easiest illustrations to see is to imagine that I'm describing Lynn Harris to you. Suppose somebody said they knew Lynn Harris. I might say, oh, I also know Lynn Harris. Then they just begin to describe Lynn Harris as a Hispanic female. I would immediately know that we were not talking about the same person. The Lynn Harris that I know is a Mr. Lynn Harris. It would be obvious that we were talking about two different people who happen to have the same name. Friends, if your Jesus wasn't miraculously conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may name him Jesus, but it's not the same Jesus of the Bible. The founder of one prominent pseudo-Christian cult says that God became a man, had relations with Mary, and Jesus was the product. In fact, Brigham Young once said, the birth of the Savior was as natural as are the births of our children. It was the result of natural action. If your Jesus was not the eternal God who came in flesh through the pure and sanctified womb of a biological virgin, it's the wrong Jesus. It indicates Christ's identity, and B, it demonstrates Christ's deity. The doctrine of the virgin has also been the subject of criticism from those who understand his deity requires his virgin birth. In John 8:19, the Pharisees were criticizing Jesus and asked, where is your father? The rumor was that Jesus was illegitimately conceived. In an attempt to rebuke of Jesus, John 8:41 records their statement, we were not born of fornication, and these ancient infidels have modern-day descendants. By the way, if anyone ever wants to have a ministry that avoids controversial topics, you'll never discuss the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, or the exclusivity of salvation through Christ alone. In an article entitled, Can a Christian Deny the Virgin Birth?, Dr. Albert Moeller, president of SBTS, asked, can a true Christian deny the virgin birth? The answer to that question must be a decisive no. Those who would deny the virgin birth reject the authority of the Scripture, deny the supernatural birth of the Savior, undermine the very foundations of the gospel, and have no way of explaining the deity of Christ. Rudolf Bultmann, often considered one of the most influential scholars of the 20th century, believed the miraculous portions of the NT were mere myths. He viewed the virgin birth as a part of mythology. Preaching as a guest speaker at First Presbyterian in New York, Harry Fosdick delivered an infamous sermon in 1922 called, Shall the Fundamentalists Win? In his sermon, he called the question of the virgin birth a moot question and said that Christians need not embrace the virgin birth as a historical fact. Fosdick was actually a Baptist, preaching in the Presbyterian Church. His message was so upstate that the PCUSA denomination ordered an inquiry into his sermon. How the times have changed. Now, New Testament scholar Gerard Lieberman calls himself a Christian, but says he believes the tomb is full and the manger is empty. Dame Scharaberg, who died in 2012, was head of the religion department at the University of Detroit. In her controversial book, The Legitimacy Give me one second. In 2002, Joseph Bishop Joseph Sprague of the UMC denied the historicity of the virgin birth and claimed Jesus was not born the Christ, rather but the confluence of grace and faith. He became the Christ. Not to be left out, a Southern Baptist in 1996, Kirby Godsey, then president of Mercer University, wrote a blasphemous book in which he indicated that Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. A more recent book claimed that Jesus was the love child of an adulterous affair between a Roman soldier and Mother Mary. A few years back, Red Book Magazine did a survey of Protestant seminaries and discovered that only 56% of students in Protestant seminaries believed in the virgin birth of Jesus. In his book on Masonic prophecies, he points out some of the dilemmas that appear if Christ was not a virgin, was not virgin born. The Masonic prophecies of the Old Testament are not true. The birth narratives of the New Testament are not true. Mother Mary was a common fornicator who bore a child out of wedlock. Jesus was mistaken about his own paternity. If Jesus were mistaken, he couldn't be a spotless sacrifice. He didn't fulfill the virgin-born prophecies and isn't the Christ. If not conceived by the Holy Spirit, he wasn't the Son of God. If born of the flesh, he had the sin nature of Adam. If born with the sin of Adam, he needed redemption himself. There's no reason to believe any other miracle in the Bible. Anybody who believes in virgin birth actually has a problem with the word of God and the God of that word. It indicates Christ's identity. It demonstrates Christ's deity. It anticipates Christ's ability. If Jesus had not been virgin born, he would have indeed have carried the sin nature of Adam. As a sinner, he would not have been an acceptable substitute or sacrifice. Mary asked Gabriel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Answer, "With God all things are possible." The only other time this statement was made was about the rich young ruler. He had asked how to be saved. Jesus' answer seemed to indicate that perfect commandment keeping was the only thing a person could do to save themselves. The rich man, unwilling to admit he had not kept the commandments, walked away sad. The Lord said it would be easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. When asked how anyone could ever be saved, our Lord replied that things impossible with man are possible with God. See, this biblical truth that God can do all things is taught within the context of Jesus Christ being able to forgive sinners. Remember the original purpose of this promised sign? God is all-powerful. His plans will not be thwarted. He will forgive you if you will turn to him. The sign must be examined. The supernatural must be embraced. The salvation that must be experienced. The virgin birth is not about God showing off. The virgin birth is about God showing up. The truth is, this name, Emmanuel, contains a new description of God's plan of salvation, God with us. A, the origin of salvation. Emmanuel is a great title because it begins with God, and whenever you see salvation in the Bible, it's originating with God. Jonah rightly said, "Salvation is of the Lord." Adam hid, and God sought him out. Judgment was coming, and God told Noah to build an ark. Jacob saw a ladder descending from heaven to earth. Don't ever get the idea that salvation is man reaching up to God. Salvation is God, through Jesus, reaching down and taking hold of me. Salvation isn't me holding on to God, but God holding on to me. B, the operation of salvation. God didn't merely save his people by his love. Romans 5:8 teaches that love was the motivation, but that motivation needed a manifestation. God loved the world so much that he gave Jesus to the world, and he had come into this world and to be with us. The wonderful song of the season puts it well. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Indeed, Jesus had to be born, to come and be with us, so that he could die for us. But without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The story is told of two Mavarian evangelists who heard of a wealthy British slave owner. The slave master was an atheist who would not allow the Mavarian evangelists on his property to witness to his slaves. So they sold themselves into slavery so they could share the gospel. In a more glorious and gracious way, God stepped onto the island of humanity, taking on the form of a bond slave to provide the good news of the gospel. See, the objects of salvation, that's us. Remember the original recipient of this promise? He was a wicked and vile man. From the earliest mention of this sign, the gospel message is, anyone who will believe and receive Christ can be saved. Ask King David how you can be forgiven for murder, Jesus. Ask Zacharias, how can you be forgiven for thievery, Jesus. Ask Bathsheba, how can you be forgiven of adultery, Jesus. Ask the woman at the well, how can you be forgiven of immoral living, Jesus. Ask Rahab, how is your harlotry can be washed away, Jesus. Ask Simon Peter, how can you can be forgiven but for lying, Jesus. Ask Paul how you get forgiveness for blasphemy, Jesus. But I don't have to turn in my Bible. I just have to turn to this section and ask, who has hope for the homosexual? Who has mercy for the abortionist? Who can dry up the drunk and straighten the dopehead? Who can give you a new life after you've lost your family? Who can forgive the rebellious child? Who can give you victory over pornography? Who can turn a thief into an honest man? Who can turn a womanizer to a man after God's heart? From every heart, every voice, every pew, this place would resound with one name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He is Emmanuel, God who has come to be with sinners like us. Now, in conclusion, winters in Canada can be brutal. In pioneer days, many farmers would die in their front yards between their houses and the barns. They'd go out into the blizzard to milk the cows and do other required tasks. They'd get lost in the blizzard and die within steps of their own front doors, steps away from a fire, steps away from safety. So farmers devised a unique method. As the winter season began, they would tie a rope to the barn and connect it to their house. This rope served as a literal lifeline to lead them from the place of danger to the place of safety. I want you to know the virgin birth is our lifeline from heaven to earth. The one who was the heavenly son of the earthly mother and the earthly son of the heavenly father, he is Emmanuel, God with us. So tonight, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner and I am sorry for my sins and the life I've lived. I need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins, and I'm now willing to turn from my sin. You said in your holy word, Romans 10:9, that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. Right now, I confess Jesus as the Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. And according to his word, right now, I'm saved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, for your grace that never leads to license, and rather it always leads to repentance. Therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so that I can bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me eternal life. Amen. Did you pray and receive Christ? Please give us your name so we can pray for you. And if you said this prayer, our phone lines will soon be open so that you may call in. And I am going to turn this back over to Ken. Thank you for letting me share with you this evening. I hope you enjoyed hearing it as much as I enjoyed sharing it.
Amen.
So now let's get to those phone calls.
Ken,
yeah.
I need to go rinse my mouth, and I'll be right back.
All right. Okay. Okay, let's take a phone call. 111. All righty. You waited all that time to do that. Amen. All right. All righty. Well, anyway, let's play some music here. Okay? Since that was all the calls. One car.
Thank you.
take some callers. 111. 417. Hello? Okay.
Never gets old.
He's already done it 3 times.
I know you hate it. I just think it's funny.
Hey, Paulie, how you doing?
I'd be better if, you know, you'd live up to your word, man. Like, what happened the other night, man? You said you were going to be in the Discord. You never showed.
I fell asleep.
You fell asleep? Man.
Yeah. Yeah, I fell
Are you going to be in there tonight?
Yeah, I'll be in there tonight.
The Scout's Honor?
Yep.
All right. How you been, man?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Just working. Exhausted. Where's Doug at?
I don't know.
Yeah? So, real quick, I know you don't care about Pastor Kent, but he's doing something. He's getting monetized on YouTube. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
He does a live show, and with the YouTube, right, people can, if they want to send a message to you, they can donate like $1 or something, and it comes across the screen. It's actually pretty cool. You should definitely look into it. I got you that webcam so you can expand your horizons beyond Blog Talk. And no, it's not because, you know, I want to put you out there so people can mock you. No, dude, I've been listening since, what, 2016?
Yep.
I was one of the first callers, me and Spencer. So, you know, like, I want to see you pick up some listeners and stuff like that. I think you do real good. I know you tried it before and it didn't work out, but now that you kind of have a following, you know, I think it would work out for you, man. Like, look into it. I know you're a little unsure and you probably have some doubts about it, but look into it. It'd be worth a try, you know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, I'll look into it. Okay.
Man? I noticed, like, with these shows, like, with the callers and stuff, you're not, like, I understand the troll calls, but, like, regular calls, you're not so engaging like you used to be. You used to be a talkative dude.
No, I'm still there.
You're still there?
Yeah.
You're not being reserved, man? I don't know, man. You seem like you've been pretty reserved, and you just let people talk, you know?
Well, no, not really. I mean, people are calling in, so, you know, I want to hear what they got to say, you know?
Ken, I think you should interject more and throw your opinion. You know, throw something out there. Like the other night when that girl called you, not the one that you hung up on, the other one, like you were just wording her through the whole call. I was like, wow. Like, be engaging, ask questions. You know what I mean? It'll really pull the audience in, you know. But you have any other callers, man?
Yeah, I've got 2 111 callers. No, I got 3.
You got 3 111s?
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna go back on mute. I got my money on one's Richard Hopper and the other one's a squeaky toy.
Yeah, I say all three are squeaky toys.
All right, go for it. Put me back on mute.
Here we go. Okay, 1-1-1. Toy. Okay. Caller number two.
Caller number two.
1-1-1. No squeaky toy.
1-1-1.
One, 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 you're on the air. Well, I guess you're not.
Yeah, okay, that's what I've been getting. 1-1-1.
1-1-1, you're on the air. I know. You can sit here and roll your eyes, but you know you're going to get a bunch of. You know they're all going to be like that. Well, no, you can't give them dead air either.
Yeah, I know. Well,
what's that?
Okay, I'm going to give the prophetic word for today. Okay, Paul?
Hey, Ken.
Yeah.
Ken, you should. Hey, can I put it? I know you don't really do music requests, but can you play Free Bird from Lynyrd Skynyrd before you do the prophetic word or whatever? Is that a possibility?
Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah, it's a really good song.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome.
Let me see if I can find it.
It's not ungodly music. Lynyrd Skynyrd, that's talking about a bird going up to heaven, dude. You know that.
Yeah. Okay, I gotta see if I can find it. Okay, let me go to search. Okay. See if I can find it. You want Free Bird, huh?
Yeah, Free Bird.
Okay, yep, I've got it.
All right, awesome, man. You can put me back on mute. I appreciate it, dude.
All righty. Thank you. All righty. We got some more callers. Let's take them 111.
Kenny, that was a great song. I think that may be the best song that you've ever played on a program. And it brought back a lot of good memories, I'm sure, for you. Do you remember where you were when you heard?
Oh, no, I can't remember that far back.
Well, that was before you went to in the military, wasn't it? Like 77?
I'm around there.
Hey, unfortunately, I didn't get to hear the sermon tonight. I forgot the show was on. But I heard from a rumor that that you've been demoted to assistant now. You're like an assistant on the show. Is that true?
No. I let Tony read the sermon tonight.
How did he do? He did good?
Yeah, he did good.
Did he cite the sermon? Did he say where it came from? There's been some criticism in the past about that, how it's the source is not listed.
No, I don't remember. I don't remember if he did or not.
Ken, are you doing well? You sound like you're a little out of it tonight.
My arm hurts.
Okay, there was a guy that I know named Internet Friend. And he told me that, and he's not very trustworthy, but I don't know if this is true or not, but he said when the sermon was being read, it sounded like you were in the background, quote, unquote, cranking one off. Is that correct?
No.
Because that could explain the sore arm, couldn't it?
No.
Oh, it couldn't?
No.
Oh, I got some bad information. Internet Friend.
Yeah.
He's the one, you might remember him. He's the one who's mentally challenged and also an African American.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, well, you got any other calls on the line, Ken?
Yes, I do.
Ooh, could we see who they are? Who it is?
Yeah, let's check it out. 111.
Amen.
Hello. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Okay. Let's see. 417.
Not very talkative.
Hello?
417, hello.
Hi, how are you, Ken?
All right, how are you doing?
Good. No, I kind of agree with the last two callers. You weren't very talkative tonight.
Well, tonight was kind of taking it easy tonight. My voice was kind of sore and everything like that, so that's why I had Tony read tonight.
That's fair. So, what does this mean for Farrar? Is he, like, head of the show now, or?
No. He's not head of the show.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry. I guess I got some conflicting information there myself. But, yeah. That's all. Take care.
All righty. God bless. Okay. Let's see. 111.
Hi, this is Internet Friend, and I would like to correct the record.
You'd like to correct the record? Go ahead. Correct the record.
Yes, Johnny said that I said that you were cranking one out. I said, no, I said I hear Ken jacking it in the background. So I wanted to clarify that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you.
And we got disconnected earlier. I just wanted to tell you I apologize that I misspoke when I was talking about Internet Friend. I said you were cranking one out or something, but no, it was just, you know, well, he corrected it. I apologize. I was a little off on that. I'd like to be accurate in all of my quotes.
Okay.
So what do you got? What do you got going on once you hang up here, Ken?
Huh?
You check out a movie. What are you gonna when you're done here? What are you gonna do? Put your feet up.
I'm gonna go into Discord for a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I will go in there and I will say hello to you.
Oh, all righty.
Now, Ken, you've been known to say that you're going to go into Discord, but you never do. This has happened many times. How is this different?
Yes, I know.
How are you going to? Are you really going to go?
Yes, I'm going to go into Discord.
Okay.
Well, listen, I got to say goodnight, everybody. Okay? We got a minute left, okay? And let's see. Be stand by and check me out Saturday night, okay, at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Okay, it'll be our next show. Okay, so God bless everybody. Have a blessed night. Okay, I hope you enjoyed the show. Okay.
Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Okay. Here we go.